And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. How you doing, Mickey?
I'm doing well, Rob. I'm finally back at home, and it's feels pretty good to be back in the sunshine and the warmth of northern New Mexico.
Yeah, well, enjoy that warmth, because you're becoming you'll be coming north pretty soon, and you're going to need a heavy coat, because it's kind of cold up here in Toronto for the PDAC.
It usually is, Rob.
Okay, I'm wondering whether the roar higher in ag commodities, along with the big move in metals, Mickey, may be masking what could be perhaps maybe even a bigger story for 2011, and that is uranium. What do you think? Where do you put uranium on the pecking order?
Well, Rob, gold was the metal of choice in 2010 with about a 25% increase. I think the other yellow metal, uranium, is going to be the story in 2011. So far, we are up 17% since the 1st of January, and we are up nearly 80% since last March.
Yeah,
the spot price.
Yeah, this has been a real rocket ride higher in the spot price for uranium. Tell us about the market conditions that have really given the price that much of a move.
Well, we've talked before about how uranium has been in supply deficit for quite some time. What happened in 2010, about beginning in mid-2010 till the end of the year, was the first thing that happened, a couple of producers had shortfalls, and they went on the spot market and bought uranium, which indicated, number one, that they weren't going to meet their long-term contracts, plus number two, it indicated that it was cheaper for them to buy on the spot market than it was to increase production. Mm-hmm. That was soon followed by a couple of sovereign countries, specifically China and Japan, went in and bought on the spot market, and that really set the price going.
Yeah, we can't have a serious discussion, it seems, concerning any sort of commodity out there without mentioning China, Mickey. And China, very much a major force in this story, as you mentioned. I believe it consumed about 17,000 tons of uranium last year. It has a massive program for further development of nuclear power. So is China the key to this whole story, do you think?
I don't really think so, Rob.
No?
I think it's worldwide demand. We see the Chinese buying, they took long-term contracts from two of the largest producers in the world in late 2010. But what we also see, we see Russia doing strategic agreements with countries all over the emerging world, if you will, both for supply of uranium and also to deliver low-enriched uranium to these countries. So it looks like Russia's very much trying to establish itself as a dominant nuclear power, especially in the Eastern Hemisphere. And then you have the Japanese and the Koreans going and making joint venture deals with potential producers or current producers to secure supply for the mid to long term. Mm-hmm. So it's not only China, it's a variety of countries.
And in fact, North America playing a role as well. U.S. President Barack Obama, I guess, making nuclear power more or less a cornerstone of his green policy. He wants a lot of low-carbon electricity to be produced in the United States. I don't know how you can get there without nuclear power playing a major role.
Well, that's true. A nuclear power plant is the only source of baseload electricity that operates 365, 24, and 7. It has essentially no carbon footprint, and the cost of the fuel is a minuscule part of the cost of the power, something 5 to 10%. So not only is it very economic, it produces the lowest cost electricity we have, but it has no greenhouse gas footprint, if you will.
And concerning the supply-demand gap that's developing in the market today, Mickey, I'm reading that this is something that could be with us for quite some time. There's a market analysis group called CRU Strategies. It says that we could have a fundamental shortage of supply in the market for at least another 10 years. Do you see that as being a possibility?
Absolutely, Rob. We have had a supply shortage of mine production, something about 60 to 70% of demand over the last 10 years or more, and we continue to see that. We we have a base supply deficit, and that's going to be exacerbated, as we mentioned before, by the Russians pulling off their megatons to megawatts program ending in 2013. That's going to take about 15% of supply off the market. We've got lots of nuclear reactors being built, and we just are not developing enough uranium deposits to meet future demand.
Let's turn the clock back to a few years ago. What was the price peaking at, the all-time high? It was over $130 a pound, I think, wasn't it?
I think it actually hit $136 was the all-time spot price.
Any inkling that we could revisit such a lofty level in the years ahead? I think speculators were certainly at play. They were a major force last time when we did hit that level. Do you think the market could return to those heady days again?
Well, you never know. Fundamentally, I don't think that it can be supported. But what you see when you see these rapid rises like we've seen in the spot price of uranium, basically from $40 a pound to $73 a pound in something on the order of 7 to 8 months, that becomes very attractive to hedge fund speculators when they see a tight market. And the only way I think this will happen again is the hedge funds come in and start taking physical supply off the spot market and essentially stockpiling or hoarding uranium. If that happens, yes, we most definitely could see another run-up. I personally hope that doesn't happen, because these bubbles get blown up and then it crash, and it does not do the underlying business any good.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, let's take a look at how the equities in some of the underlying businesses have performed. I've looked at some of the uranium stocks, and they've been on fire. Gains of 200%, 300% over the past year. Not going to mention any companies' specific names, but what advice can you offer investors who've perhaps not bought into this sector? They're looking at those gains, and they may be thinking, you know what, it's too late to get in there. What do you think?
I don't think it's too late. I think you need to be very selective. I generally will accept no geopolitical risk in the uranium sector. So I look in past producing jurisdictions that are pro-uranium with low political risk and a clear pathway to permitting. So in that regard, I like the good old USA and the Athabasca Basin. So in the USA, we would be looking at advanced explorers and near-term developers in Wyoming, Texas, and New Mexico, and the aforementioned Athabasca Basin. So in this sort of volatile market, I think you would want to kind of sit back and watch and buy companies on weakness, look for possible strategic alliances, business combinations, joint ventures, etc., especially in New Mexico this year. I think we're going to see some consolidation of the business. So maybe that gives investors a couple of ideas of where to start.
Okay, good way to wrap it up. Next time out, what do you want to focus on?
Well, the flavor of the month or the year so far, uranium aside, have been the so-called critical metals. What used to be, well, last year they were called rare metals, and before that they were called minor metals. They've also been called strategic metals. I prefer to call them specialty metals. And we'll give a little bit of rundown of what's going on in that space and maybe some ideas of commodities that you could speculate in and others that you would absolutely want to stay away from.
Okay, sounds good. Talk to you in a couple of weeks, Mickey.
I look forward to seeing you in Toronto in a couple of weeks, Rob.
Yes, we're going to revisit that that fine establishment at the foot of Bay Street, and we'll sit down, we'll have a good glass of wine and a nice steak, and we'll do a couple of interviews and fill listeners in on the PDAC. Looking forward to that convention. It's going to be a doozy this year, isn't it?
I have no idea how many people will be there. I think 24,000 last year, and the business is better. So
yeah.
Look out, Toronto.
Look out, Toronto. Word has it, I think it could be an attendance breaker this year, so should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, Mickey.
Okay, I'll bring my earmuffs and my gloves.
Okay, that is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.